just singing, wasn't it, boys? Amen. Young men, young ladies, so forth and so on, and this and all this are right there. Take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking in the book of Proverbs tonight. Thank you. Proverbs in chapter 24, if you find the place, we'll read a passage or two there. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 24. If you find the place, you're able to stand. Look in verse number 1. Proverbs chapter number 24. Be not envious, thou envious against evil men, and neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, their lips talk of mischief. And through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all the precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, and yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there's safety. Wisdom's too high for a fool. He opened not his mouth in the gate. Now, Father, bless your word to every heart. We do thank you now for these requests that have been mentioned. May you meet each and every one in accordance to thy word and in accordance to thy will. Now, bless, I pray, the service tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while, Lord willing, on building a happy home. I don't know about you, but I like to be happy, don't you? I like it when I get up and the plumbing's working good and I'm not having to cut it apart and ride into town. I like it when there's not a problem going on in the house. There's somebody fussing and cussing and fighting and mad and feuding. And I like it whenever I wake up and everything's just running right on time and harmonious, and that we might be able to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. I'm talking about building a happy home. Throw me that little bottle of water you're sitting on. Has it got any dregs in it? Pitch it to me. Thank you. Thank you now. I like it whenever you and I can come down to the house of God, be able to worship God in spirit and truth. In the lesson that we're looking at, the Bible said that if you're not careful, you'll be sitting here, but your heart will be somewhere else. Isn't that what it said? He said, be not envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their hearts study the destruction. You can be sitting here in your heart somewhere else with people of destruction. See? In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out, is that we ought to remember, brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. And let me tell you something, wisdom, the Bible said, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, James chapter 1. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. You know, in the day and hour that we're living in, you're going to find is that we don't want to talk about it. We read about a man, look in verse 7. Wisdom's too high for a fool. He just got through telling us that we need to be able to have wisdom. And through verse number 3, through wisdom is a house builded. And yet you'll find that a person that's a fool don't want to talk about it. See? You know, the Bible said, be ready to answer every man that asks a reason of the hope that's within thee, and do it with fear and trembling. You ever ask anybody something, they just get the lock jaw and they won't talk about it no more. I mean, I understand that if you shot something that wasn't but 9 inches wide and the game warden's there and you're tight-lipped, I can understand that. But when somebody's just asking you about life in general, and pray with me about this, and pray with me about that, there's safety and a multitude of counselors. And yet the Bible said the fool, they don't want to talk about it. You know, I'm always amazed at all these boys and girls, you know, they grow up and grow up at our house, and there's such a pain in the arrivederci. I wouldn't take it and I wouldn't have it, and I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that's the way that it is. And just about the time that they get big enough to buy their own vehicle, then you won't see them no more too much. They don't want to talk no more about whatever it is they want and going on. They got their minds made up, and they don't want to be confused with a whole lot of facts. I tell you what makes that is that we get to the place where we're afraid of whatever we might be going to do or whatever we have already done may not be exactly, it might have taken a little more thinking on our part and we need a little more counsel somewhere or another. In the lesson that we're looking at, the Bible said, come, over there in the book of Isaiah chapter 1, come and let us reason together, the Lord said. Now, you know what that means? We better have more than a little talk with Jesus. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be made white as snow, and be made white like wool, he said. Now, let me say to you that when you look into this, is that you'll find that not everybody in this world is going to be involved in the same thing. Not everybody's going to get married. Not everybody's going to have the same kind of job. Not everybody's going to be going the same direction except with the Lord. It better be that. But let me say to you that, if you will, that while everybody may not ever get married, everybody's going to need the mind of God. Whether you get married or whether you don't get married. And let me tell some of you girls that are here, here's what I think about you, is that you're a prize catch and you are worth the wait. Amen. Make no mistake about it. No need trying to rush and hurry it up. In fact is, you know, young men, there's no need in rushing and hurrying it up. For Jesus come, be seven women to one man's coat. And if you ain't careful, you ain't gonna know what to do with six of them. See? But I want to say to you young ladies and to you young men, never get in a hurry. Because whatever God's got for you is going to be worth the wait. In the lesson that we're looking at here tonight, let me say to you, through wisdom, a house is building. You know, my wife and I have been together 55 years. And let me tell you the reason why, because she's a help to me and not a hindrance. And by the way, that whenever you look into this lesson here, did you know that the way that we talk to God is by talking to one another? Do you remember over in the book of James when he said, confess your faults one to another? Right, now, why would you confess your faults to somebody else or another human being? Because that's what God said. That's the nearest thing you and I are going to have as a representative of God, is somebody that has God living in their heart, somebody looking for the mind of God and the counsel of God and the wisdom of God. And whenever God says, confess your faults one to another. For the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In this lesson that you're looking at, is that you'll find that over in the book of Proverbs in chapter number 24, verse number 1 and 2 that we've just read tonight, you'd better get your heart tuned into where God's at, because if not, you're going to get to where you're studying with people that want to be in destruction. Look over in chapter 23. Don't lose your text, but in chapter 23 of Proverbs, and look at about verse number 31. And we use this passage every now and again, and let me say to you, chapter number 23, verse number 20. Here's where we go. Be not among winebibbers and riotous eaters of flesh. You know, if you're not careful, you'll get with the wrong crowd. He said, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. Drowsiness shall clothe the man with rags. Verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Now look in verse 31. Look not thou upon the wine when it's red in the cup, and give it this color in the cup when it moves to the right. I want you to look at the passage. I want you to circle it in your heart if nowhere else. Every argument you ever have is going to say, well, you know, I don't believe it's right to get drunk, but I don't think it's wrong to take a little drink. Look at it again. Bible said you ought not even look upon it. Look not thou upon wine when it's red, and when it give this color in the cup, and when it move the several right. At last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder, and thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Look at that. I got to say to you that whenever you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you better hang on to what God said. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Don't let somebody come along that claims to be a philosopher and that wants to give you their philosophy of life. Stick with what God said. Buy the truth and sell it not, the Bible said. I want to say to you that if you will, you'd better get your heart in tune with God. Number two in this lesson here, in verse number 6 and 7 of chapter 24, you and I to seek after wise counsel. You want to talk about it a little bit? No, I don't want to talk about it. Well, you're a fool then. Wisdom's too high for the fool. He opened not this mountain again, in the very place that somebody might help you. You don't want to talk about it. I can tell you right now is all these kiddos of mine and all that business there, it didn't matter to me if they wanted to talk or not. Whenever it came time for me to find out something or give some kind of information, I had a lot of time, effort, money invested in them. And you think I'm just going to roll over and play dead and let somebody, because you met some nincompoop up and down the road of life, and now they're going to override me, and you see what I'm telling you? I'm looking for the mind of God. I'm looking for God to be able to do something that's real in every heart and mind of not only people that I pastor, but as we were growing up. Now our children are grown, and then we have grandchildren and soon great-grandchildren. You'd be surprised if the Lord tears is coming every many years than I live. You'd be surprised how big those little great-grandsons will get. They've already got pretty much a mind of their own. That's just the way life is. That's part of it. In the lesson that we're looking at, you know, there's a whole lot of times some of you gals, you know, people think, you know, you're moody. You're not any moodier than young men are. Here's what I found out about both of them. It don't matter if you're male or female, is that whenever you're needing to talk to somebody the most that knows something from God, that'll be honest with you before the Lord, and you're wanting to talk the less. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about that with you, Mama. Well, who do you want to talk with about? She carried you 9 months before you ever got here, gave birth to you, all that business there, put up with you, and all them little toe-headed shenanigans that you pulled and cleaned up and cleaned after you and cleaned you and all that. And so you mean to tell me you don't want to talk about who's ever put all that effort in you? And so, you know, ain't no wonder she finally said, well, I'm going to have you talk to your daddy when he gets home. I don't want to talk to him. Let me talk to you. Well, who you want to talk to? Let me talk to the dog outside. She always says pretty much whatever I want to hear. This Bible said that we're to seek wise counsel. And you know what that means, don't you? Whenever the Lord said, come and let us reason together, that's a conversation that you're having with God. That's a conversation in light of the word of the Lord. And let me tell you, here's one. The Lord's providing wise counsel, and you don't want to talk. Now, it's awful quiet in here, and I thank everybody in here, but I mean, I don't have anybody in particular in mind, but no doubt about it is that we live in a world that way. I can tell you it's not what we know, it's what we don't know, you see. I've seen some people, you know, and that later on in life, you find out, and you know, they were in the ministry all them years. Some of them were child molesters. Some of them were this and that, fooling around, lying, cheating, conniving, and behind the back of their own spouse and everybody else. And I said all that to be able to say this: what a disappointing, what a sorry awakening that is. And yet you'll find is that God has provided wise counsel. They didn't want to talk. They didn't want to talk about it. In verse number 3 of our text, the Bible said, through wisdom is a house builded. Now, everybody here is going to have to be able to build a house. And do you realize that in order to be able to build a house, you're going to be able to have to have an equal yoke? Now, I realize that you're not, all you young people are not married yet. I mean, none of you boys here on front row, y'all not married yet, are you? Not yet? All right, but one of these days you're liable to be, and if you're going to build a house, and I'm not talking about it with the hammer and nails, and I'm talking about build a house and build a home, have some heaven to be able to go to heaven in. If you're going to do that, you're going to have to realize that it's going to take an equal yoke. Now, let me give you something. That's more than you and I can ever realize. Here's the reason why you wouldn't want to take a woman that's a graduate of Harvard University and try to yoke her up with somebody that barely got out of the third grade. That's not an equal yoke. See? Listen, if you've got a Harvard degree and I didn't know anything about it and you're married to somebody that barely can read and write their name in boxcar letters, well, try to stay with them, stick it out, and this and that, and keep making decisions for them. You know, I know some of you ladies, here's how it is. You lost your privilege to be the leader back in the Garden of Eden. it's not my fault. It's been your desire to be to your husband. I know that. But you're smart enough to be able to talk to him and give him some good instruction and make him feel like it was his ideal. So you have to do that to keep him from being so whipped down. You don't want to be looking at him saying, "What's what? Are you ignorant or what?" I said all that to be able to say this, is that when you begin to look into this Bible here, the Bible said that you and I are to have an equal yoke. That means the same mind. That means the same direction we're going. That means, we're not going to turn there. Brother Darrell did a good job preaching out of that the other night. But here's what it means, an equal yoke. It means you're in fellowship with one another as well as with God. It means you are in concord. There's a harmony. There's a communion. There's an agreement. No doubt about that. The Bible said this calls that a man leaves his father and mother and him and his wife be one flesh. In other words, there's a unity there in the spirit, the bond of peace. Now, let me tell you, over there in the book of Genesis, we'll not turn there, but in chapter number 2 and about verse number 18, after God made Adam and had all the animals and all the trees, and he brought them forth by Adam to see what he'd call them, he noticed there was not a helpmeet for Adam. And so what he did was, he said, it's not good that man should be alone. Did you ever notice you're at your worst when you're by yourself? Devil shoots thoughts in your mind. Yeah, and all that business there. And the temptation of the flesh is stronger, it seems like. And let me just say to you that, if you will, that God said it's not good for man to be alone, to dwell alone. Now, notice in the lesson that you're looking at, I'm going to make a helpmate. You know what that means? That means somebody that can help him. It means to have somebody that's got some holiness about him. It means a harmonious situation. Not a fight, not a quarrel, not an uproar. Fighting a good fight of faith doesn't mean you ought to be griping, raising Cain, belly aching about something all the way to church. You remember all them times in 55 years of our marriage, hon, that we've come together fussing and fighting in church? No, it's not. We don't do that. Amen. Well, we fuss fight about other things. I mean, every now and again, there's a little rust get on the blade, you know. Sometimes the voice will get red and temperatures and all that flare, all that right there, mean looks and all that business there. And when it happens, it's just a normal part of life. I finally show her where she's wrong. She gets it right, and we go on. Back in harmony again. You'd be surprised how many women I've said that to that really took that serious and all that. And, you know, line up. I just need to line up. Yeah. As safely in the multitude of counselors, but I don't know. I believe I'd recounsel that or look at it. let me say to you that, if you will, that fellows, watch Marcus now. You better go after something besides just beauty. She may be beauty today and a beast by tomorrow. Hey, girls, you better watch it. He may be tall, dark, handsome today and a pure ass tomorrow. See what I'm talking about? What in the world happened, hon? What was going on here and all that? I said good morning. He snapped at me like a rabid dog. Oh, what's good about it? Certainly not you. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you that, if you will, is that we ought to have a happy home, build a happy home, a fellowship, communion, something that's harmonious. Now, do you know what happens? God said, I'm going to make a helpmate, not a doormat. I'm going to make a helpmate, somebody that can help you worship God. Somebody can be be in harmony with you, is a harmonious situation. And let me say to you that, if you will, is that, that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, the Bible said. And so that if you've got somebody helping you, They're helping you walk in a holy manner and realize and know what God has to say and do. Now, we're not going to take a whole lot of time because I'm not feeling as best in the West. Whenever I got here, I'm feeling better now than I was, but I just wanted to say to you, I don't want you to start feeling bad too. And over there in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 18, about verse number 21, here's a man by the name of Saul. He was a king, remember, of Israel while it was a united kingdom. In fact, David is going to take his place. But here's what ends up happening if you read over there in that chapter. Saul wanted to give David a wife that'd be a snare unto him. I'm going to tell you something, don't you take that too lightly. That's exactly what the devil wants to do to every young man and every young lady. He wants to give you the wrong hookup, the wrong spouse. That'll be a snare to you and that'll not be a blessing to you. See? I want to say that when you begin to look into this over there in the book of Proverbs in chapter number 21, it's about verse number 9. I'll give you a moment to find that, or you can just listen to it either way. But in 21 and verse number 9, he said, it's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wild house. Let me tell you right now, brother, you be a man, brother, you be a woman. If you've got nothing but just a habitual hell raiser in your family as a spouse, it won't matter if it's a man or a woman. That house, I don't care how wide it is, it's going to be a small place together. You know, a person not have to get off work and look for someplace else to go and something else to be able to do because there's no harmony and there's no love and there's no holiness and there's no help to where they're going. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, the Bible said that whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live or whether we die, all that's in the book of Romans chapter 14 about verse number 8. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know that He is my Lord and Savior. And the Bible said that we're not going to learn all at one time. Over there in the book of Isaiah 28, the Bible said, verse number 10, verse number 13, He said it's going to be a learning process of precept upon precept, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, day by day. We're building a home. We're building a house. We're building my head. We're building my heart. I want to say to you that do you know that after all this simple message that we're talking about, do you realize the wrong move can hinder you for the rest of your life? Do you realize to know that the right move will help you for the rest of your life? Now, let me just tell you right now is that every now and again, I don't care who you are because we are flesh. Every now and again, you're going to wake up on the wrong side of the bed. You've been fellowshipping with the devil. Somebody asked one time, and my wife, you know, do you ever wake up grouchy? Most of the time I let him sleep and get up when he wants to. Do you realize even at best, sometimes the flesh is going to get in the way? You need to learn to say, I'm sorry. And not to be a billy goat badness, I'm sorry, but. I wouldn't have said that, but. I see you're a big butt, aren't you? What kind of apology is that? I'm sorry, but it's your fault. I got to say to you that, if you will, is that when you begin to look into it, you'll find out, and here's what you need to realize, you were a prized possession at one time, either man or woman. Somebody thought, man, I want him or I want her, and so forth and on. And that tells me you were worth the wait. Now, why can't we just line up and wait on God and do whatever God intends for you and I to be able to do? See? You can always tell if you're looking for the mind of God. You're willing to talk about it with people that know God. See? You know, sometimes somebody will try to call me up and try to give me a little bit of encouragement this way in life, especially, you know, if you're down in the mouth, if you've been hit a lick, you're hurting so bad you don't, you know, it's just cloudy any way direction you look. And they'll go to try and say, well, you know, here's what the Bible said, or here's what Job did, and here's what I finally do. I finally say, hey, hold the phone a minute here. I know every chapter, every book, and every verse that deals with this situation. And the problem's not that. The problem's me. You see that? And let me tell you right now, is don't talk to me about all that Job lost and got back. I am not Job. I'm never going to be what Job wanted to be or is and was and turned out to be. That's all I can do to be Dennis. Amen. It's all you can do to be whoever you are. And let me tell you, make no mistake about it, that sooner or later in life, you're going to get to the place you're going to want something or somebody that may not be the will of God in your life. But you ain't going to want to talk about that. But it's going to be a rude time. Let me ask you boys here, some of you may decide you want to preach. But you ain't going to be able to go very far and be able to do very much in life if what you've got's a hindrance instead of a helper. Some of you may be involved in something else in the work of the Lord. I know you women can't preach except at home a little bit. No, sir, Mr. Man, set your little tail down right there. Let me preach a minute. Every now and again, we've got to have it. We've just got to have something. Oh, yeah, we want to. Isn't that something, though, how we'd like to be able to snap at you? You can't preach to me. Oh, yes, I can. I just ain't in the pulpit except right here in the house. I can talk to you. Didn't you say, and isn't this what you taught, and isn't this what you said? I didn't know you was listening that close whenever I was saying all of those. See how it works? See how that works? I got to tell you, I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be saved by the grace of God. I'm glad God, in all of his infinite love and mercy, has caused us to be able to build a home, to build a house. By the way, let me tell you, is that we've been where we're at now for, I don't know, I guess what, about 31 years coming up, or 30 years here, whatever it is. And but I can remember that whenever I might come in and tell her, hey, hon, I think we'll move to Houston. And I mean, we might be living here or up in Longview or wherever. Moved to Houston, yeah. I already got a piece of junk trailer out there, didn't have any gas money and all that, but we got enough to get to Houston. And we'd move. I'd take a job, and I'm telling you right now is that if I didn't like it, I'd quit it the time I got there before dinner and go find another different one. I'd get a work job. People that don't want to work, I mean, people ain't got a job, they don't want to work anywhere. I guarantee you right now is that it just turned 74. I can promise you I'd have a job. May not be what I wanted. May not be as much money as I thought I ought to be able to be. I can have a job before sundown tomorrow night. I don't really want one.
Me either.
You know, but sometimes we just have to do that. I'm just trying to say that, buddy, we went from pillar to post, a lot of places and all that. Sometime I made a move God wasn't 100 miles of. That's a bad way to have to do. You know what happens whenever you miss God on a move? You've got to make another decision with God and try to get it corrected. And sometimes it's going to leave a little marring or a little scarring. I want to say to you that as a result of it, every place we ever been, we moved into a lot of different houses. But every time, without exception, my wife has always made our house a home. Amen. Not one time did she ever look and say, man, it looks to me like that we could have had a better house than what we got right. And I mean, there's times I thought it. We moved into one house before we ever had any kids, me and her, and they stole my wedding band. I had it laying up there on the little chest of drawer, dresser of a type deal. I could hear them running around. It had wharf rats that long in it. And they got my wedding band and this and that. Took a 1 pound sack of cookies. Here's the hot water heater, and there's the cabinet, or vice versa. Anyhow, the longest yard. A 1 pound sack and grabbed it. And jumped all the way up on top of that other edifice, sir. Am I telling it right, hon? I sure am. I thought to myself, well, there's one, hey, you want to talk about looking on the positive side of it? This place got plenty of meat in it. I want to say in closing that, if you will, is that you want to build a good and happy home, be careful, wait on God, serve the Lord with gladness. Keep your eye upon the prize, and that is what He's going to give you. You just keep your eyes upon Him. And I can tell you what you'll do if you'll say no to the world, the flesh, and the devil. If you'll do that right there, say yes to God, one of these days down the road, you'll look back and say, you know, I can remember when my grandpa was alive, he told me this day would come. And it sure will. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank you for loving us. We ask your blessings now. Word is true. I look across here at these young men, these young ladies. May you build a hedge about them. May you show them your will and have your perfect way with them. Lead them, guide and direct them, and give them wisdom to say yes to God, no to the world, the flesh, and the devil. We'll thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen.